back to the Alan Smithy Film Review. You're hanging out with Ben and Damien, and we just came out of the Northgate 14 in Hixson, Tennessee, watching
Weathering with You.
But Ben, that's not a AAA Hollywood all-star movie.
We didn't see a trailer before Jumanji anything like this.
Don't you mean Bad Boys Forever?
I think Bad Boys for Life.
Or that other one that just came out.
Other one, Jumanji or The Grudge or other movies in January that get lost in the vacuum. No. This is a Japanese animation film that we saw advertised in theaters kind of under the radar and like posters and banners saying, hey, this is coming. This month for like 2 days only.
Yes.
In a couple theaters in town because we're not New York or London and we get special stuff only on occasion. We're like,
right.
Well, that makes our ears perk up because we like lots of movies,
we
but
do.
Especially the movies that like this that we know a lot of effort went into that don't get a lot of airplay.
And this is
one of those.
I'm proud of AMC for recognizing that there's a lot of otaku here in Chattanooga. So they brought the anime to us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we do have two sci-fi conventions in a town of only 150,000 people. So not too horribly surprised, but at the same time,
really.
And the theater actually was more packed than pretty much any other movie we've seen at this theater.
Maybe half full,
but
for an evening show on a weeknight for a Japanese animation movie, like, oh, this is where all the fans are.
Yes.
Okay, they came out. You could tell they were respectful. They didn't talk. They were looking at phones. Very respectful because they knew it was a limited engagement and they have respect for the artwork they're watching on screen.
Absolutely. So before we get too further into this, this is made by the same director who did Your Name.
Yes.
And I know
other
that
films.
You have only recently seen Your Name.
Yes.
So that was pretty fresh for this.
Have you seen the other movies that he's like 5 millimeters per second? Or
no, I have heard of the voices of a distant star, but I had not seen it. He's got a lot of stuff. It's sort of like when I first saw a Miyazaki film, when I first saw his Ghibli movie, it was Princess Mononoke, and I had no clue that I had missed 10 years of movies prior to that.
It's
sort of the same situation here. And so, if
the director here we're talking about, by the way, is Makoto Shinkai.
Yes,
butchering that name pronunciation.
He actually, the cool part about the film we got to see is we got to see an interview with him afterwards.
Yeah.
And so it was fascinating. I know that a few years ago, I guess about 4 years ago, Miyazaki-san retired. Sort of the same way that Jay-Z retires periodically and for a very short amount of time.
Yes.
And during that period, Ghibli's animation studio disbanded, and he was actually able to pick up several of those folks for this movie to add to his existing core of amazing animators.
But he didn't want to make himself look like a carbon copy of that,
exactly.
So he took a big shift in like music style and editing
and
storylines.
The actual art style is very different also. I mean, this is probably as close as I'll ever get to visiting Tokyo unless something magical happens.
My goodness,
It's not photorealistic, but it is clear that every person that was assigned a background was told to go, this is the building you're going to go sit in front of, and you're going to sketch it until you get it right.
Right.
And he said that to them 1,000 times.
Yes, and look at like the difference the way air looks between this distance and that distance.
Right.
The light bounces off each other in water. So the texture in this movie is very different than the Ghibli movies of Hayao Miyazaki, because that was much more almost 2D looking. This looks more 3D looking.
Yeah,
just rich stuff. You can tell that the staff that he took from Ghibli only got better.
Right. Yeah, and additionally, you know, the staff he had on Your Name was already top notch. So having them combined with this is sort of a culmination superstar kind of Japanese animation all stars effort. This is the traveling Wilburys of movies. Mm. And so, you notice we're not talking about the plot, and we really should.
It's
difficult to walk out of a movie like this that is just 24 frames of art for 2 hours.
It's a lot. And it's really just going to be a sweeping allegory for a lot of things as we watch it. But in short, we're in Tokyo. There is a girl named Hina, that has an experience and transforms her to have these abilities, these supernatural abilities to control.
Yeah, if you're looking for an animated documentary, this is not
this
it.
Is not it. So this is basically the second cousin to Storm of X-Men, in a movie that's more rainy than Seven.
Right.
I'm just gonna say that there's so much rain in this movie, but Tokyo's being deluged with rain,
right.
And this girl has the power to have pockets of sunshine by praying to the spirits in the sky.
Yeah. Just very so often. But the main protagonist, the person whose story you're kind of going along with is
Hokkaido.
Hokkaido, and he's a runaway, and he's just trying to make his way in Tokyo while being underage. And people don't, if you ever really want to if you ever think that our police force is oppressive, or if you think our justice system's kind of messed up, do a little bit of research on the Japanese justice system. Realize that there's only one way you get a 97% conviction rate, and that is that you don't care how many innocent people you throw in jail. So the it's very difficult to break the rules in Japan, so everyone just follows the rules. And so when you have someone who does, when you have a minor who's unaccompanied, you know, the cops are 100% going to ask for your ID. Just, it's going to happen.
Yeah. It's like collectivism society. Right. I've been to Japan. I noticed that there it's very safe, middle of the night, no matter where I was. I always felt very safe. There's cops present. I think because of the penalties for crimes over there are so severe that fear is a powerful ally. And they don't do a lot of criminal activity. There still is crime.
Sure.
But it's overarchingly much safer. And you see a security guard in front of the hospital here with a bow staff instead of a gun.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, it's non-lethal over there.
Yeah. So the fascinating part about this movie, and it was fascinating about your name, and you get different, you get a little bit more of a shifted sort of fantasy cultural impression from Miyazaki movies, but this and Your Name are very much, here's a slice of Japanese life.
Yeah.
And when you aren't Japanese, some of the things are, and you know, obviously I'm a white dude speaking from this perspective, some of these things are very foreign, and they're actually just sort of, you know, mysterious and curious and interesting in their own way. But the reason why this movie is so impactful is that it really is set in the heart of the city, Tokyo itself as a character. And it reminded me, and you're probably gonna think I'm stretching a little bit, this movie reminded me a lot of Parasite.
Interesting.
In
okay.
That,
different class systems being represented.
Class systems.
Yeah.
But also the decision to, this is not a rom-com. This is not,
no.
This does not fit into any of the American cubby holes for allowable movie
types.
There's
romance in this, there's action in this, there's suspense, there's thrillers, supernatural fantasy stuff in it. Like you talked about, there's no like fixed genre, and like Asian culture movies of Korea and Japan don't really designate, oh, this is this movie, so we gotta follow this formula and these rules and this is predictable. That's interesting that it doesn't do that, because you're not sure what levels you're going to be raised with and where the story's going
to
go.
Yeah. And one of the things that Ben likes to talk about on this podcast, and I agree with it, and this is a great movie that you could use as a thesis for that, is this movie respects its audience.
Very much so.
So it has no problems with saying, you know what? You're going to be depressed for the next 5 minutes. We're going to hit you in the teeth with this, and it's going to feel real because we've spent enough time getting you involved with these characters that you care about them. And then we're going to hit them with something bad. And it's really going to look bleak. And then it's not only going to be the world's against them, but you know what? We're going to actually make the weather a character that is actively antagonistic against them.
It's reacting with the characters.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's the story that's not giving you, oh, this is the part where this happens, and this is, I'm going to explain the plot to you here. It asks that you think along with the characters, which gets you more invested and involved with Hakoda. Hakoda, I forget his name.
Yeah.
I pronounce it anyway. And you're with him the whole way, reacting and wondering, what is he going to do? What's this path he can take? Is he really going to be in line with this girl's mission to control this weather? And you learn more about that. We're not going to give that away, what happens with her. But he's involved in this world that he's a fish out of water in Tokyo. Mm-hmm. He's struggling to find what his purpose is going to be. And he finds what he thinks is his purpose. And things go a little differently. And the characters around him are really interesting. And they're just, you can distinguish them. There's a lot of characters in this, so keeping up with the names of them, but you can identify them. You know, the cop with the pompadour haircut.
Right.
The beer guzzling.
Everyone has an archetype.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. It's fun. And there's humor to this, by the way, too.
Oh, there's so much. And that's the thing I like about particularly high-quality anime, is that they have no problem, like I said, punching you in the teeth with the depression, and then the joke that pulls you out of that in no way makes the character who's depressed feel better. So it's fascinating to be like, oh, just shut up, you idiot.
We're laughing, but they're not. Yeah,
exactly. It's very interesting to see that kind of dynamic.
I will tell you, this movie, we watched it with subtitles.
Yep, that's right, Otaku.
Which you and I. It's pro and con, because I do appreciate hearing the actual real actors' voices and watching the lips match the words.
Right.
But you are trying to read really, really quickly along with
so
a lot of action on
screen. So you can get back to see it.
And this movie, especially the first half an hour, was really, really fast paced. Like cut.
Yeah.
Super fast editing. And you're trying to read, and they're also distracting you with words of the song lyrics up on the right-hand corner in case you want to read that in tandem with the other dialogue.
Which, it was interesting that I've seen a lot of anime that does not do that with the songs, and you know,
first time I've seen it.
And if we hadn't stayed for that director piece at the end where we realized that he was basically working in tandem with this band that just truly inspired him,
yeah,
and that was why the music was so important. Most movies, this kind of music, I would have just written off as, okay, well, they hired a Japanese house band that I've never heard of.
Yeah.
Cool. That's great. I might like it. I might not. But it was clear that the songs were written for the movie, and it's something you see every so often in American movies, or you at least see them
every so often,
or you'll they won't write the music for it, but they'll build the Baby Driver, for example, they'll build a movie around the song.
Every scene in that movie had a song in it. Exactly. Yes, it was a music video.
So this isn't that extreme, but it's sort of like I said, it doesn't want to be one thing. It's all the different things. It's all the things he thinks is cool, and he thinks, all right, this will entertain people. I've got a message I want to put out there. You guys can like the message or not.
That's interesting. Yeah, because most soundtracks are just like, Hans Zimmer or James Horner when he's alive. Yeah. That just kind of complement or build the emotion and follow the path. Rarely do you hear a song that was written with lyrics until the credits. Case in point, Titanic or Lord of the Rings or, all these other big movies that have a movie soundtrack that just is scored, and then they have a big punchy thing at the end. It's like, just in case you forgot the message, let me sing it to you again.
Right.
So,
or let me tell you the story of the Wild Wild West.
Yeah, getting jiggy with it. Not that, but what's the one? Men in Black.
Right.
If you need Will Smith to come in and write you a song to explain the movie all over again in fun rhythms, he's your man.
Let's dance.
Yes.
So
this movie didn't do that.
It had these songs that were, I'd never heard of Radwimps before. I'm sure that they're big J-pop. I mean, my wife's big into J-pop. She's bigger into K-pop now. But it's so fascinating getting a completely culturally different experience while still having a storyline and characters that I can relate to.
Yeah, yeah.
I may never have been the 15-year-old runaway in the biggest city imaginable, just trying to survive, but I can relate to the feelings of being introverted and being, trying to tell someone your emotional thing when you don't have the maturity to do so.
Yeah.
And
your inner monologue, trying to psych yourself up and give yourself confidence when you're a kid trying to figure things out.
Yeah.
And again, fish out of water stuff. But this movie, you're following along this kid.
Yeah.
And you're with them through these weird experiences, but you can relate. Yes, it's Japan, but you can still fundamentally get across some of the stuff that he went through because you've been a teenager before.
Exactly.
It sucks.
Yes.
You're awkward. You know what's going on. You're trying to find your way in the world. So it's nice having that protagonist that's relatable and interesting. And as a kid, especially, I remember that.
Right.
That sucked.
Yes.
So it's interesting to get that perspective.
So you have that emotional, nostalgia is such a horrible word for it, but it's probably accurate. You have this emotional nostalgia that hooks you in. Then you have this music that hooks you in. And then you just have stunning. You could watch this movie muted.
You really could. But there are certain scenes that I'm with my own editing, my own project, I really, my spine, as they call it, for editing usually is music. Just because I'm telling, it's like a recap of like a trip I did or something. So it's not like a heavy plot story I can follow along with. But if I can drive the entertainment value with some music, I do that.
Right.
There are certain scenes, especially like that scene at the end with the weather and the cloud and sinking through and everything. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I got chills. Like, this is, they did it right.
Yes.
This is awesome music, awesome editing, amazing visuals with the spinning, twirling clouds. Like, whoever thought of that in their dream, thank you for bringing it to reality, because I never imagined seeing something that pretty on the screen.
I agree.
It was gorgeous.
That scene was beautiful, and then there was a couple scenes that were technical masterpieces. So there's that one scene where he Tarantino'd for about 30 seconds, where I'm going to animate just the water hitting the flood water.
Yeah,
and it was raindrops.
Yeah.
All the raindrops. And then I was like, all right, was that CG? And then at the end, he's like, no, it's all hand-drawn. And I'm like, holy crap.
Yes.
And
he
then
made a point to say that in the interview. We have to hand-draw every raindrop
on a clear
umbrella so you see the backdrop through it with the refraction of light going through. Like, holy crap. How big is your staff?
And then the other scene that kind of blew my mind was the fireworks scene.
That was my favorite part, and that second favorite part.
Though there's so many great parts, but
when she's on the building and praying, and then suddenly like the skies open up, and because this whole Tokyo is just like they're depressed, and like
because it's rained for 47 days
forever,
or something like
right?
That. Yeah.
Forever, and like it's just raining, and suddenly they have these moments of light coming through, and they have this levity. I can bring my kid out to play in the park, and all these great things. So
it's not like Seven to that amount where it's just raining all the time.
Right.
There is bright moments in this movie brought by this character who has this duty and this mission that she's sacrificing herself for in a way. We're not going to go down that road and tell you those plot points, but there is a cost to all this beauty that she's creating. And she has this new friend that's kind of enabling it, and suddenly he has a crisis of conscience. What do you do, and how does the story unfold? We'll let you watch the movie.
Sure. And, you know, that's going to be something that's difficult for us to do, despite the fact that I think we're actually ready to jump into it just a little bit. We're probably ready to jump into it. Because otherwise, we'll just keep saying the same things.
We're just gushing over
here. Here's the thing you need to understand. It's funny, because Ben just said, when you see this movie, that's the sort of thing that's going to require a financial investment on your part, dear listener.
Especially from this one, like a $15 non-AMC pass movie.
Yeah, we had to pay full actual money for this one. Yeah, on top of our $30 whatever a month subscription we pay.
I only paid 20.
Whatever, 20. I don't know. Math is hard, dude. But that's why we're here, because math is hard, dude. Yes. It's tax season.
It is tax season. Holidays are over. How much I spent?
Yeah. Oh, oops. I thought that I only bought Grandma that one pair of
slippers.
How many
presents did Buttons get this year?
He got the magic bag this year. So bulldog gets the magic bag every so often, because as a bulldog, he tears toys completely apart. So it was sort of a perfect confluence of he tore up his last toy right as Mandy was going to go buy him something.
Oh.
So she went to PetSmart and she bought 7 toys that are of the highest possible toughness.
Seven different toys.
They're all the same brand, so they're all very tough, and they all have squeakers in their heads and everything. And we put all 7 into one bag.
Ooh.
And he watches her pull one toy out and realizes that the toys come from the bag. So then all she has to do is just lay the bag down on its side, and he army crawls in and pulls each toy out individually and puts it in his fort. He puts his toys away.
Is there a video of this?
No, because we're all disgusting, but it's the sweetest thing imaginable. So that was very expensive. I don't know if you've had to buy a dog toy lately, but it's sort of like children's things. Where whatever it should cost, it's $20 more
and
than
tough
that.
Tough toys are like they're industrial made,
yeah,
right?
They're like $15 a toy. Yeah. Like we spent some money on Buttons this year.
So money goes away. We're hurting,
and so I need the kind of financial help that the Alan Smithy Film Review provides you, dear listeners. So with that, we have put together this very convenient 4-point scale that helps you make your money spending decisions. Now, four points is you should see it in the theater, which is something we did. Not only did we do it, we worked all day slaving in the rain to go watch a movie about rain.
It is raining here, yes.
And we don't have Sunshine Girls. We have wonderful ladies in our lives, but we have Sunshine Girls.
Yeah, Sunshine Girl. It was Hina.
Hina. That's her profession. That's her profession. Four is see it in the theater. Now you're going to have a very difficult time seeing it in the theater. So therefore, if we give this a 4, that means you need to actually go find it. Now the inverse of this is that you might be able to get off the hook and just buy it when it comes out on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
4K HDR, which is pretty much the only way to see this movie. 3 is stream it. Your name's not even streaming. It's very difficult to find.
No, it's not. That's the problem. I think which studio just bought all the Miyazaki? Was it Fox or was it Disney owned Fox? But it was some other company that bought all of them. It was HBO.
It's
maybe?
HBO Go. Yeah, HBO bought all the Miyazaki catalog. I hope that they buy all of this studio's catalog as well, or somebody does.
Depending on which streaming service you pay for, that might be an option for you. I don't think Netflix is going
to
get it.
Yeah.
It may get for disc rental if you still do that.
See, that's the thing. This level of film deserves respect at the highest level.
Don't watch it on a plane.
Two is watch it on TV. Good luck with that. You might be able to catch on TV if you're actually in Japan. You can catch on MTV. 1 is Runaway Screaming. So, again, 4 is see it in the theater. 3 is stream it. 2 is watch on TV, which you're not going to be able to do. And 1 is Runaway Screaming. So, Ben, given that, based off what you said, this has got to be a real low score. Where are you giving it?
It transported me to a land that I
the
spent,
Rising Sun?
A couple days here and there back in the Navy, seeing a vending machine on a corner of a house with trees around it in the streets of Tokyo. I'm like, that's actually what it's like. So I think it's a good point that you found out, because you saw screenshots today, people actually painting landscapes, and painting the skyscapes, cityscapes.
Well, they were doing comparisons of the shots of Tokyo in this film were compared to the actual thing, and there's not a detail out of place.
The visual feast alone in this movie is worth it. Like, on mute, but the story's fantastic, too. The editing, the music, it was 2 hours and just flew by.
Yeah, it just flew by.
Of the last 30 years, this is my favorite Japanese movie. It's a solid 4 for me. It's hard for me to compare it with Akira, because that's 1988, past 30 years ago.
Sure.
And it's a little apples and oranges.
Yeah.
Totally different movie, totally, it's like comparing.
Which is unfortunate. You actually bring up a really good point about Japanese animation, and Akira's a good example of, that was a very early Toriyama style.
Yes.
And before Miyazaki became something, Toriyama was sort of the big name. I mean, there were names before him, but he was the one that made cinematic anime a thing with Akira, in my mind.
And the way Akira used music, and the way he used editing, and just the chant, the drums.
And they invented ink.
They invented color. They invented like six different colors for it. But also the way they used sound.
Yeah, absolutely.
The way with the doom.
Well,
the drum echoing, and the way this used sound with the water. Remember that floating that scene in the alley with the kids?
Oh,
the water just floating, and suddenly just drops. Like, it just, the sound just snaps in. So using sound as a texture.
Well, making a film.
Yeah.
That's really the big
using the medium for what it should be used
because for. Because, you know, that was one of the reasons why this director was able to pick out the Studio Ghibli people, is that they didn't want to do cartoons for
Pixar.
TV. They wanted to do cinematic animation.
It just makes me irritated. This movie wasn't even considered for the Oscars, which got nominations came out, and it's, of course, you know, everything else. That, thankfully, Frozen 2 didn't get nominated. but you know, other ones did. They were like, really?
Right.
Okay. I mean, it's an animation movie, technically.
Well, they're already throwing one bone to Parasite, so doesn't that just make all the Asians happy?
Yeah,
so, you know, it's just 2 billion people. That's one movie should be enough for them.
Sure. It's got snubbed.
Right. So it got snubbed, and well, unless they're planning on, you know, one of the things that Ghibli did, which helped popularize it for the mainstream in the U.S., was giving Disney the rights to distribute in the U.S. with American dubs. Now, I think I would enjoy watching this movie dubbed. I know that that makes me a Philistine, but I enjoy being able to just look at every frame of animation and not be focused so hard on the subtitles. But I would love to see this movie. I think that this movie would blow minds, but I'm afraid it wouldn't make money. But the reason why I think it could make money is that I'm giving it a 4.
Oh!
Do you like that? I did the full circle thing on you. I'm pretty clever, right? Woo! I'm giving it a 4. Ben's also giving it a 4. This movie was amazing. It was so beautiful. Like, I haven't seen anything this artistically fulfilling in years.
Was it better than Your Name? Was it better than Your Name?
I actually did like Your Name more than this.
Okay.
But I like that twist in that movie.
The twist in Your Name.
I didn't see it coming.
No one saw it coming, yeah.
I mean, there's some people who are probably Sherlock Holmes level, whatever. They saw math equations while they were watching the movie and figured it out. I didn't. It blew my mind. And additionally, that one scene where the meteor is right there in the sky, it was one of those Akira I've invented color scenes for me. So, you know, I think that he is an excellent successor as the ascendant animation. As Miyazaki does retire, I think that he can feel comfortable that these stories will still be told. This movie was mind-blowing, and I highly recommend it.
Did you get the cameo reference?
Yes, I did, which was great.
Okay, good. I didn't. We won't spoil it for you. There are cameos in this from other films you may have seen.
And I've never seen that in an anime film before. I've never seen cameo before.
Besides what Pixar does with the Toy Story universe, with little things like that.
When I say anime, I mean Japanese
animation. You mean
animation.
Japanese animation, yeah.
No, I'm not talking about Disney's trying to sell toys.
Yes.
I'm talking about actual cameos, which is what was in this movie, which was great.
Yes.
Four for me. Ben, it just makes... All right, so you and I grew up. We are young enough to remember hand-drawn animation. It's rather funny. I'm sure there's plenty of Disney fan people who will just claw my eyes out by saying that both Your Name and this are better than any hand-drawn animated Disney movie that ever existed. In terms of the quality of the animation.
It just is. I don't care about the story of The Lion King.
Right.
Animation was boring. I mean, there's some cool things in it, but...
Yeah. I mean, the best part about Lion King was singing the songs because you're a kid. Best thing about Aladdin was singing the songs because you're a kid, having a monkey.
The will to be seen in Lion King is still pretty impressive.
Yeah. And, I mean, so there's lots of fun and interesting things in it, But for all the work that went to the Wildebeest film, that take that much work and let's just do that for the whole 2 hours. Like, there's never a lazy frame. Yeah, there's never a frame of the hyena's eyes don't match for some reason.
No,
like,
but the emotion and the hand strokes in this are what pull you in that much further.
And
than
the storytelling is, you don't, you, if an American director were to try to do this type of storytelling with a live-action movie, I think it would be a huge hit because everyone would be thirsty for something that is just fresh and new. They just couldn't possibly get anyone to pay for it because it would be so risky.
Well, most movies that come out that are pitched in a pitch meeting in Disney or Pixar, right, or whatever it is, DreamWorks.
ScreenRants.com.
Yeah, and this director walked in there and did this and say, no, make it dumber. No, dumber.
No.
The only studio that's making good stuff out there was like the one that did...
Cast 23-year-olds for the 15-year-olds.
Well, it was like the movie Inside Out, the one that's coming out called Soul, that actually has some kind of existential themes to it. Like, okay, you're raising the bar a little bit here.
Right.
It's better than Frozen. It's better than all these other ones you come out just for the toys, for the songs.
Yes.
You are giving us something to think about, because Inside Out had some tragically sad moments in it.
Sure.
And Soul is coming out, I think, this year, and looks like that level of thinking. So I'll give him that.
Okay.
But you're still years away from this stuff.
Right. Yeah. Of maturity.
Maturity, respecting the audience, and using the medium for what it's actually capable of doing.
Yes.
It's incredible. Go see this movie.
So, Ben, in addition to seeing the movies, the Oscar nominations came out.
They sure
did. We're not going to talk about them on this podcast.
No.
However, we are locked and loaded. We've got the ones that we think should win. We have the things that we want to win. Ben still has a couple more movies to see he has his gauntlet complete. I have gone ahead and put as my listings for all the documentaries of whatever Ben says, I don't care.
You don't like documentaries.
I can like documentaries, but if you were to say, hey, go watch 5 documentaries.
And then 5 short film documentaries.
And then 5 short film documentaries.
Yes.
And just, it's just not, listen, the biggest problem is that we work in corporate communications, so everything we do is short film documentaries.
More or less. Yeah, more or less, more or less. That will not be nominated.
I'm not getting paid to watch this. I'm not going to watch it.
No, but that podcast is coming. We're going to talk about our picks, what we want to win versus what we'll probably win.
Yes.
And that's usually a big divide there because Hollywood's not fair and they never get it right. They sometimes get it right, but very rarely.
I will go ahead and do a little bit of a spoiler and say this is one of the least risky years I've seen on record. There was pretty much everything I saw on there. They threw Parasite in there because I think that if they didn't, the world would... There would be torches and pitchforks.
Yeah, there's...
But otherwise, it was all like, there's a lot of old white guys, and there's a lot of familiar faces.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, of course, is one of the locks for a lot of things.
Sure.
I mean, Knives Out in there for giggles. But,
barely.
Yeah, barely.
And, hey, look, Joker showed up.
Joker showed up.
So that either one of two things will happen. One, there will be a bone thrown to the superhero genre, or this is Hollywood's way of snubbing every single one of them to make a point.
Will you watch The Irishman before the Oscars?
Fine.
Really?
Yeah, why
not? Woo!
I can find some alcohol. we want to hear from you, listeners. Which of the Oscar picks do you think are interesting? Were there any snubs that you saw? Ben called out his favorite animated movie, Frozen 2, was snubbed.
Man, where was that?
Yeah, Disney didn't pay enough, I guess.
That's right.
They were too busy paying for all their other properties. Let us know what you think. Your picks and your snubs for the Oscars coming up. I know it's not it's sort of like fantasy football. It's more fun actually fighting over what was picked versus actually watching the game.
Yeah, it is. And the game is like, okay, who won? Okay, fast forward the speech.
Don't care.
Yeah.
Give me the scores. Did my running back get enough conversions?
Yeah. give me the opening. It's hostless again. No more host again.
Right.
So February 9th, that airs. We'll definitely air our podcast picks before that. We've got to pick a date for it.
Yeah.
And some other movies coming out too, but this is kind of the dark period now.
Yeah.
We saw the big ones like 1917 and the big ones that are just kind of airing in trickle-down form before the Oscars.
So that actually makes this a good opportunity. Listeners, also, if you have a retro review request.
Hey.
I know my dad still has Deer Hunter.
We got to do Deer Hunter for him. I'll watch it again.
I know, but
it's 3 hours long.
It's 3 hours long. I guess I can watch that right after The Irishman and just burn a whole day.
And just add a whole bottle of alcohol. Both are pretty dark films.
Yes, a little bit. So, anyways, with that, check us out on AlanSmithyReview.com as our website, AlanSmithyFilmReview on Facebook. please like and subscribe. Let your friends know about us. We always want more listeners. We always want more voices. Talk to us. We want to talk to you back. They can check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Google Play Podcasts. There's all sorts of different ways you can listen to it. If you're on one of those platforms that lets you rate or leave a comment, please rate or leave a comment. If it's iTunes, I check that thing once a year, but hey, maybe I'll see it. But we really want to hear from you guys, and so please like and subscribe, tell your friends, and with that, I'll say...
Domo arigato. Domo.
Yeah. Sayonara.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.